Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Is this man a snake, or is he just a simple man who is a down-home guy telling the truth? I think that is the question. That is the question to ponder, to knock around with Keith Butler. And I lean toward the sign of the latter. I think he's just a down-home guy telling the truth. But let's set a baseline here. He was on the PM team, the aforementioned PM team yesterday, and he was asked about that hot topic about defensive play calls. Here we go.
As much as I'd like to, daggum, been more involved in calling defenses and stuff than I was, I still wanted to do what was best for the team, what was best for our defense, what was best for our guys in terms of trying to learn the defense and teach the defense and trying to get it down. We had a lot to do with the game plan and stuff like that. But, Mike is the head coach, and Mike can do what he wants to, and he should be able to do what he wants to as the head coach. The last year of Dick LeBeau, a couple of years of Dick LeBeau, Mike was calling defenses there too. I mean, so it's something that he wanted to do. It's something that he had done already at Minnesota. He wanted to do that here. And, you know, he's a head coach. He should be able to do what he wants to do. He knew how I felt about it. He's going to do what he thinks is best to win football games, and that's what he thought was best.
Wow, there's a lot there. And, again, I think this is just the down-home guy who was asked a question and said, I've lived my life like this. When I'm asked a question, I give an honest answer.
Yeah, no.
Keith Butler's not malice.
No, Keith Butler. I like the mental imagery that Matt used on the early morning show today, where he talked about the Joker walking away from the hospital in the dark night, and it blows up, and he gets that creepy smile on his face. It's not like that. He's not blowing it up on the way out. It's just they asked Keith. Keith gave an honest answer, dadgummit. And I think what's interesting, though, is that in the level of honesty and detail that he gave in talking about Tomlin taking over the defensive play calling the last couple of years of Dick LeBeau's tenure as defensive coordinator, That's where I start to get a little lost in the fog, not regarding what Keith Butler said, but regarding the timeline of it and why it took place then. In 2012, the Steelers had the best defense in the league, right? 2013 would have been the final, I guess, the penultimate year of Dick LeBeau's career as Steelers defensive coordinator, right?
Yes.
They dropped to 13th, missed the playoffs. They dropped to 18th in 2014. Now, they made the playoffs that year, but they lost to the Ravens in a home wild card game. And then they dropped all the way to 21st in what would have been Butler's first year as defensive coordinator after Dick LeBeau retired. And Mike Tomlin would have taken over really probably even more so, right? Not just play calling, game planning, all of it.
Yeah, it becomes more of, is this a Keith Butler issue or did Mike Tomlin run Dick LeBeau off? That's
not just that, but I think that's a very important point. But when he did, what good did it do the defense?
Correct.
A defense that, yes, was aging out. I get it. You know, you were in the last couple of years of Troy Polamalu.
James Harrison.
Harrison had just a couple of years left. Woodley had fallen off the face of the earth. Ryan Clark had retired or had moved on. And you would think that if you're going to be the guy to take over from the established defensive coordinator, and I remember back in 13 and 14, all of us crowing about, oh, this defense, it keeps getting worse. It's 13th, now it's 18th. What, Dick LeBeau, what's happening? Well, it turns out it wasn't Dick LeBeau.
Right.
It was Mike Tomlin.
Retroactively, and I said this yesterday, yeah. We need to now, every time we yelled at the television at Dick LeBeau and every time we yelled at the television, especially at Keith Butler, we need to think back and say, we owe them an apology.
Yeah.
We were yelling at Mike Tomlin. The one part I do find very most interesting in Keith Butler's comments is right about here when he says he knew how.
He wanted to do that here. And, you know, that coach, he should be able to do what he wants to do. He knew how I felt about it.
That part.
He knew how I felt about it.
I'd love to know the dynamic and have seen the conversation, heard the conversation, been in on it, had a camera there, and wanted to know how that went. How much did Keith Butler resist? Mm-hmm. How much did Keith Butler say, hey, Mike, I'd maybe like to... No, your help isn't welcome here. That part of it, he knew how I felt about it. That is as much as a down-home, old-school, southern kind of guy is going to give off in a radio interview of saying, I didn't like that.
Right.
I wanted to do it.
And he's trying to remain respectful of Mike Correct. Tomlin and the organization. I totally understand that. And that's why he's answering in that way. And I think the question for me, and it's going to come back now, and we're digging back, like, think about this, like 8-9 years in the past now. But that's where we're at. When you bring up Dick LeBeau, that's how far back we're going now. What compelled Mike Tomlin in his 6th, 7th, 8th year in the as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers to jump up and say, now I need to be involved in the play calling on game day?
Well, you wonder if any top-notch coordinator is going to want to come here and have that friction, have that headbutting, and have that lack of power.
Right.
You know, you look around the league, and it's different on both sides of the ball. You see the Dayballs, and you see the people who are gigantic coordinators in this league. And you wonder on the defensive side of the ball, because I don't think Mike Tomlin does this offensively. At least I don't know that to
Doesn't
be the case.
Sound like it.
But at least defensively, who that is tabbed as an up-and-comer, a superstar defensive coordinator, a whiz, or even a guy that had been that in the past. You know, you take the guy that was just Wink Martindale or somebody. Who's going to want to come here and say, yes, you can go there, but you're not making play calls? It eliminates, for at least for me, a big portion of the talent pool.
It's wild to me that a guy who came up and rose through the ranks so quickly as a defensive assistant and then a coordinator, and you heard Keith Butler reference that, Mike Tomlin's time with the Vikings as defensive coordinator and obviously defensive play caller, that a guy who was hired as sort of a young hotshot coordinator has now gotten completely lost in the idea that that's not what you want. That a couple generations later now, and here we are 15 years later, Mike Tomlin doesn't want to bring in the next Mike Tomlin. He wants to continue to be the guy calling everything on the defensive side of the ball.
He forgot who he was.
Yeah.
He's not – that, you know, that's such a great point, that what allowed him to have success – what allowed those Vikings teams to have a little success and Mike Tomlin climb the ladder,
mm-hmm.
and what allowed Mike Tomlin to have success early on as Pittsburgh Steelers coach was a delegation of power. And then there's no other way to put it. I hesitated to go with this morning, but he simply, if you connect all the dots, he's on a power trip and he's a power hungry guy.
Yeah. And
I don't know how you come away from this and not feel that way.
And look, I'd be totally okay with that if he was racking up Lombardis while he was a power hungry guy.
If it was Belichick.
Guy. Right. You know, but he's not. He's not. They're losing in the playoffs year after year when they do get into the playoffs. They look thoroughly unprepared in some of these spots, and they look thoroughly unprepared to take on a quarterbackless future. On both sides of the ball.
Let's not lose sight of this either. This is a man in Keith Butler that Mike Tomlin has worked with
for decades.
Since 1998.
Yeah.
You know, since Arkansas State.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that is one of his closest working confidants. This isn't a guy who, and it would be a lot different, and good on those guys on the PM team for getting Keith Butler yesterday. It's a hell of a score and a hell of an interview. But this wasn't a fly-by-night, one-and-done guy that came in here and worked for 1 year and kind of saw Mike Tomlin here and there. This is a guy that has worked with him for a long, long time and had the confidence and had the, albeit he did it with respect, but he still didn't decline the interview. He came on and he sort of flamed Mike Tomlin in a way, as much as Keith Butler does, and says, yeah, everything you're hearing is true.
Yeah.
That says a lot to me that he didn't protect his friend.
Well, again, I don't know if he looks at it that way. You know what I mean?
But like, he could have said, I'm not interested in talking about the inner workings of how we did business.
Yeah, but then I think in that case, you decline the interview, right?
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? He didn't decline it.
I think, you know, what's very obvious to me in everything we've learned about the Keith Butler-Mike Tomlin dynamic on that side of the ball this year is that he trusted Aditi, and I'm not taking anything away from Andrew and Chris. Again, like you said, great job getting him on, but Aditi has a good enough relationship with Keith Butler that she was able to get him to come on. And I think Keith Butler is a guy who, like you said, as down-home as you're going to get for a guy who's got a storied NFL career as an assistant coach, walked in, answered the questions, and I don't think probably even thought twice about the fact that what he was saying was going to lead some of us down the path of, my God, you're kidding me. Mike Tomlin took the reins of the defense before Dick LeBeau even retired?
Well, what it was, too, was it's a confirmation of what a lot of people thought. But to hear it from the one guy who can truly confirm it says a ton. Wetco, get there. Salt all over your car from clearing off the snow. Listen, stop that damage right in its tracks. Get free unlimited washes at Wetco. Sign up for your first month of Wetco Unlimited, and your next month, it's on us. It's BOGO. You can't do winter without it. Sign up today. Get your free month of unlimited washes. GetGoCafe.com/unlimited and say see ya to that salt damage. Let's go. Let's get it done. Come on. Take it or flush it.
And now, it's time for Take It or Flush It. Presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family.
All right, guilt. I'm going to take or flush guilt, but let me explain.
Okay.
So the Rams are the latest team to do one of these whole, you have to have a credit card that's registered in the greater Los Angeles area to buy tickets from Ticketmaster, where they've put in these codes, to buy tickets for this NFC Championship game. Okay, that's the way that it's going to work to alleviate selling tickets to Niners fans. If you are a Rams fan and a Niners fan approaches you and says, hey, I know you got this restriction, whatever, but I want to buy your tickets. Guilt or not, selling it to the opposition. Like if you were a Steelers fan and it was the AFC Championship and it was a Chargers fan that wanted to come
here. I'd feel guilt. I would. I'm sorry. Like, look, if it's a regular season game that doesn't have like direct impact on, like it's not a win or go home kind of regular season game late in the season, I'm all for getting what you can get for your tickets. I totally understand it for a lot of people. It pays for your season tickets to sell just one set of tickets for a game that people are willing to pay for. But it's the conference championship. You can against a rival, like an years-long, ages-long rot. No, you can't do that. I would feel incredibly guilty.
None at all for me. None at all. Money talks. Let's go. You want to pay I'd flush the guilt. You want to pay a premium? You want to pay some price? Here you are. If people are willing to spend and it's over what I paid and it's a decent fee, I'll make money off the tickets every day of the week.
Wow. Absolutely.
No guilt at all. No. If somebody's willing to pay an outrageous fee, yeah, give it to me. Give it to me every day.
Okay. We talked about team fight songs a couple weeks ago as we were getting all excited and hyped for the wild card game. And, you know, we had the new version of Here We Go. Thank you to Roger Wood for debuting it on the show. We had We had Pat Septak come in and play the Steeler Polka, for God's sake. Well, we were struggling to think of examples of, you know, other teams, other cities where they do this.
There's that Bengals one.
Bootsy Collins has released an updated version of what they call Fear the Tiger.
Welcome to the jungle! Such a man! Are you ready to rumble?
So, Bootsy Collins with a new version of Fear the Tiger. Take it or flush it. Bootsy Collins.
Oh, well, I'll take P-Funk every day of the week. Yeah. He's got to be 70 years old, Bootsy Collins is.
That's a good question.
He's got to be pretty old. George Clinton, Bootsy Collins. Oh, we want the funk. Ow. Give us the funk. Ow. I mean, come on.
Yes.
Turn this mother out. Yeah, take them. I mean, they are something else. The stage shows. George Clinton's got to be 10 years older than him. But yeah, take them. Parliament did stuff that no one else did in their time.
And no one else will probably ever do.
Yeah, for sure.
Bootsy's 70, man.
Gotta be. He's gotta be.
70. Dear Lord. I'll take him. And George Clinton, for what it's worth, is he's 80.
Yeah,
so there you go.
I know he's older. But man,
they'd still put on a show. I bet you put them up there on stage. Yeah, I'll take Parliament. I'll take Funkadelic.
Think they've ever party with any good looking women?
Never.
Oh,
never.
Those
but
dudes.
The Fear the Tiger song. I don't like that.
There is that other. There's like a different Bengals song though.
The Houday song?
Yeah, there's a Houday, and isn't there?
There's that, and then there's the Fear the Tiger.
Right.
He did two of them. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Bootsy Collins. Good on
Which
him.
Still is the genesis of the greatest Bill Cowher moment in the history of his career when they're in the Bengals or in the victorious locker room after beating the Bengals, and somebody says, "Who do they think we gonna beat them Bengals? Houday."
How about the Superchargers song? I do like that. San Diego Superchargers.
Potash loves that song.
Can they still play that though? That they've moved up north.
How do you change San Diego to
Los Angeles?
Los Angeles.
All right, the Steelers, are they losing their brand strength? We get into some numbers that might say yes, or it may just be a coincidence, if you will. We'll dive into that coming up next. Something happened to me again yesterday that forced anxiety that I'm still reeling from.
Aldi again?
Perhaps. I'll tell you that before the hour.
A good Aldi story from yesterday as well.
Yeah, but mine was something else.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, this the Post-Gazette's resident rabble-rouser, this Adam Bittner guy, right?
Adam Bittner may be the farthest thing I've envisioned when I think of rabble-rouser.
No, maybe from a personality standpoint, but a lot of the stuff he writes is just, he's a rabble-rouser. He is.
Okay.
I'm telling you, he's a poke-the-bear guy, I think. I don't think that's a bad thing in journalism.
Right.
I'm okay with that. But he is. He's a poke-the-bear guy, or he writes stuff that doesn't make people happy all the time.
He's thought-provoking.
Yes, for sure. And he has a thought-provoking piece in today's Post-Gazette. So he writes about the numbers that don't paint a pretty picture for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They just don't. Localized television ratings published by Sports Business Journal on Monday, this was yesterday, showed the team suffered one of the biggest drops within its own market in the whole NFL. Full 10% of its audience went away from 2020 to 2021.
Hmm.
Now, they pulled a 36.24 share. They're normally in the mid-40s.
That's still best in the division, though, right?
Best in the division. It still is, edging out Cleveland, and ranked only behind Kansas City and Buffalo. So they had a huge drop, and they're third in the AFC.
Okay.
If you look at it in that form. Here's another way to look at it, too. That's people watching their television. Now, the double-digit percent is discouraging because, well, it's people not watching their television. But from 2020 to 2021, the attendance also dipped. So much so that the Steelers finished 28th if you take it at 6,488 fans per game, which represents an 88.4% capacity. Now, people will tell you tickets sold against actual bodies there is how it's measured. Okay.
Well, I've been told also, I've had people jump on me about this, that the Steelers are one of the only, if not the only franchise that counts butts in seats as opposed to tickets sold. So when you see that disparity and you see them at the bottom, it's not necessarily as comparative to the rest of the league. Nonetheless, the attendance numbers, Colin, are the ones that concern me more.
Here's where I measure it, okay? Like, they had 60,000, whatever, 448 a game. In 2018, they had 63,000 some.
Mm-hmm.
I'll measure like Steelers games against like Steelers
That's
games.
That's fair, yeah.
And, you know, like in 2019, that number for the Pittsburgh Steelers was 62,000.
Right.
So they're down 2,000 from a couple
years ago. Whatever you're measuring, it's down.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll measure apples and apples in that case. Forget about butts in the seats. Forget about tickets sold. That's the same metric against the same metric a couple years later.
Right.
They're down. Are they losing their brand? And I don't know if the Steelers brand is – I don't know if the Steelers brand is any weaker. What I think this does hammer home is this. People aren't going to spend a ton of money or know that they have to sit and watch and carve out their time every week if the team isn't going to win playoff games. If it's just kind of a middle-of-the-road football team, they become less of a must-watch and definitely less of a must-go.
Well, I think you lose, as far as television ratings go, you lose some of the more casual fans. You do. The people who, when the Steelers are rolling and everything's great, they're tuned in just about every weekend, right? Well, 2020 is a good example of that, right? You really couldn't go a lot of places the fall of 2020 either. So you couldn't go to the game, for example, so you had to watch it on TV, and the ratings went through the roof because they started 11-0 and all that, and because you had to watch them on TV. So I guess if we're talking about attendance, though, again, this is why this is the bigger concern for me. Those are your hardcore fans.
Yes.
Those are the people that lay out a ton of money. Those are the people that are committed to going to the game to the extent that they spent the money on tickets and made the plans to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Via buying the tickets. And now you're not getting those people. You're getting people, to your point, who are saying, yeah, I don't know if I want to go sit in the cold for this, these guys aren't it for me to go sit in the freezing cold on a Thursday night or a Monday night or whatever it may be. And really, we didn't get the boost back in attendance until the final home game because everybody knew it was Ben's farewell, right?
Right.
So it's just that would be more concerning if I were the Steelers that number has dipped as much as it has over the last few years.
It's 4,000 over the past 4 or 5 years.
What I think will be interesting is, because there were still lingering pandemic effects on attendance this year, I think, and the Post-Gazette cited that in this piece, a poll they did back in October, that like 28% of respondents still cited that as a concern for them in going to games this fall. Next fall, when it will feel like we're pushing all the way through this thing, and you're dealing with a team that is very much going to be in a, you can't argue, will be in a down cycle, right? They don't have a franchise quarterback anymore. How is attendance affected next year?
I think for me, again, I come back to the big circle. Like, people want a playoff team. People want a team that's going to fight for the, and they were in the playoffs this year, but they want a team that is amongst the best in the AFC. And you're not going to have that all the time. In that regard, we have been lucky here in this town that there's a team that's never out of it. But they want playoff wins, and they want a team that they think can fight for playoff wins. And they're unsure that that's happening right now. They don't want a 500 here and there kind of. It's just not good enough for people here. It's not good enough for them to put their money out. And like you said, the casual fan to put their time out. And it reflects in the television ranking.
Yeah, I mean, the casual fans jump on board when it looks like a Super Bowl contender. Those are the ones that drive you from, you know, the 35 point whatever rating up into the 40s, right? They're the ones that take you from 60,000 people in the building to 65,000 people.
The drunk goofs. I won't take my kids unless I'm in a box or unless I'm in a box. There's a lot of drunk goofs at NFL games. And I'm not just talking about Pittsburgh. I'm talking about everywhere. That crowd at NFL games is unlike the other sports in this country.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that much more prevalent than it was years ago, or we just see it more because of social media. You know?
There is part of that. I do think that there is a quotient that has spiked where I just don't listen to authority. and I don't, you're not going to tell me what to
do. Oh, that's definitely Spike.
And like, I remember, you know, like when I was little, if a security guard told you to shut up, like
you shut up and sit down. Exactly.
And it's just not like that anymore. Or I paid a lot of money for these tickets.
Or even if someone sitting around you said, hey, you mind sitting down? My kid can't see the game. Or, hey, quit acting like a jack wagon. You're spilling beer all over everybody. You would sit down and most likely, you know, shut your mouth.
Right.
Now people turn around and want to fight you for it.
Yeah, I do think that's part of it in terms of the attendance. People don't want to be bothered. But then you think, well, the offshoot is, well, they're just going to sit at home and watch. But that was down this year also. They have a problem on their hands, and they need to figure out how to spike that brand back in the right direction. That's for sure. They'll always be number one in this town, but they need to figure out how to spike it back in the right direction. Jeff Hathorn, top of the hour. We talked to him, and anxiety was forced yesterday. And I'll tell you something. I'm keeping my man card. I will not do something in order to keep my man card.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what that is next. Fan Morning Show. All right, anxious moment yesterday. Very anxious. I'm still reeling from the anxiety on top of having to drive through the snow to get there. I'll tell you what that was in just a couple minutes. Twitter poll, let's go. By the way, I like this Tom Garris, this reporter guy. He's good. I saw him on the weekend.
Young guy.
He's a very good reporter, field reporter.
He anchors on the weekend.
Yes.
Right, for Channel 4.
Yes, he's very versatile. He does a lot of stuff for them. Good on him, this Tom Garris. I don't know him from Adam other than seeing him on television.
Right.
But a big shout out to him. Anyway, Twitter poll. Daily Twitter poll from yesterday. Who is the best team left standing in the NFL? A lot of people think the Chiefs. 73.9% to be exact of a lot of votes that we got, so thank you for that. 19.9% say the Rams. 4% say the Bengals. And 2.2% say the Niners. Today's Daily Twitter poll, and we'll talk about this a little later again. Man, what a good interview for the PM team yesterday to get Keith Butler on. And bouncing off of that, are you okay with Mike Tomlin making all the defensive play calls for the Steelers? 76.3% of you, so over three-quarters of you, say no. Let the DC do the job. 23.7% of you say yes, it's his team. So there you go. It's his team.
Okay.
All right, man card move, right? Is it? I'm a jerk, I guess, for this, or maybe I'm just a man. There has been, in the one bathroom on the first level of the house, there's been a box, a Kleenex box, for probably going on a week, I guess. I don't know. It'll probably change this morning with one Kleenex left in it.
Okay.
Okay. Rather than taking, and I've blown my nose on multiple occasions into toilet paper, rather than taking that last Kleenex out and having to go into the closet and replace the Kleenex box in perpetuity, I will keep blowing my nose. If I had to blow my nose into sandpaper, I would do it before taking that last one out and go through the hassle.
Where are the backup boxes of Kleenex? Are they like upstairs or the down in a pantry somewhere?
6 feet away.
Oh,
in a closet.
That's just lazy.
I fear I'm going to open the box wrong. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have to take that box, go throw it away. I'm just an ode to being a man. I will avoid using the last of something so as to replace it.
Now, see, I am guilty of this, but it's different in that we keep all the extra tissues and stuff like in an upstairs closet. So if I'm down in the powder room on the first floor and I take the last tissue, I got to go all the way upstairs. Now, this isn't much less lazy than what you're describing.
Yeah.
I got to go all the way upstairs. Grab the box out of the closet, go all the way back down, rip the top off, pull that first tissue out so it's okay, and then put it back in the bathroom. But, man, that's...
I know. I just, as a matter of principle, I just don't want to be... I'll just leave it there and see how long it goes. I don't want to be the guy that have to replace. I don't know. I'm a jerk.
I'm guilty of it.
I hate
I've
taking
done it
the last one just because then it's a big hassle.
It's not even a big hassle. You just don't feel like doing it.
No, I just don't.
Let's
All
be
right,
honest.
Moment of just anxiety yesterday.
Yeah.
So I drive, and it starts snowing pretty hard, and the roads aren't great and whatever. I drop my kids off in an activity, and I have an hour to do some things. So I run to Aldi, which is very nearby. I go into Aldi, and the parking lot's a zoo. It's a mess because of the snow. People are just making lanes wherever. There's not a ton of people there. It's about 4:45. I make my way in there. I go in. I need bananas. I love bananas. So I'm buying like 10, 12 bananas. And two, because they're out of half gallon, so 2 quarts of skim milk.
Okay.
Okay? So I go, and I only take a bag. I never get a cart at Aldi. Always just a bag.
Mm-hmm.
I put that in the bag. The lady in front of me has two big containers of protein powder.
Okay.
Guy behind me's got all his meat. Okay? So I'm in that line. Lady does her protein powder. The guy puts it in the cart that's already there. She has a bag, too. She doesn't need the cart.
Okay.
I give the guy the bananas and the milk.
Mm-hmm.
I go, hey, can I put my bag down in the cart? He goes, sure.
Right.
I put the bag down in the cart.
Yeah.
Wide open in the big part. My man puts the bananas in where you would sit a kid and the milk in where you would sit a kid.
Because
he got to do it world record time. I love Aldi, but he got to do it world record time. He's got to check
boop,
me out.
$6.97, please, sir.
So then I go, hey, my man, can you drop those bananas? Because the guy behind me's got all this meat, and I don't know what we're going to do with this cart. Because I don't need the cart. I'm feeling anxious. I don't need the cart. I'm not taking the cart because I didn't bring the cart.
You could take the bananas and the milk and put them in your bag.
I could, but he's already pushing me somewhere, but I don't want the cart. So then he goes, oh, okay. He starts to put the bananas into my bag.
Right.
The bananas where they come together at the top, where the stems come together at the top or whatever, gets wrapped around the handle of the bag. So now
now
milk
you got a big mess.
Gets better. He goes to hand me the milk and drops it from the top part to the bottom part of the one of the quarts to the bottom part of the cart, and it bounces like three times, and I'm worried, is this going to break? All because he's trying to check the guy out with the meat behind me so fast. I love Aldi. I do. I'd love an Aldi endorsement. I'll endorse your store. I love it. If they just stepped off the gas instead of going 80 miles an hour and went 70, would it be so much less efficient? Like, the guy was not even a human. I couldn't have a conversation with him. I wanted to say, like, hey, can we just slow this down a little bit and we'll all be better for it? I know we want to still go fast here, but do we have to go this fast? Why do we go this fast?
But then why do they wait until there's like 35 people in line to open another register? That's the other thought. And why, I mentioned I had an Aldi story. Why? I don't understand how Instacart works, okay? I don't want to know the inner workings of how it gets forwarded from the app to the store and who does the actual shopping and who brings it out to the car and all that stuff. But my wife set up an entire Aldi order yesterday, right? I'm like a child. I need to have her do all of it. Otherwise, I go there with the list and it takes me an hour. So she sets up the whole Instacart order, right? I'm on my way to Aldi to go pick it up. She texts me. She says, are you at Aldi?
Right.
No. I'm on my way home from work. I'm on my way there. Damn it. They just gave our stuff to somebody else. She got the notification. Your order has been picked up.
That's odd.
It's twice. It's happened. Twice. And we've been the recipient once of somebody else's order. They just popped it in the back of the car.
I'm just still, I'm picturing the moment and it's giving me anxiety a little bit. Like, why? I know about working fast and that's good and I want that. But it is, the guy throws harder than John Neese with the stuff into the cart. He'd take your stuff and fire it into that cart.
Right.
Again, if whatever during their training, let's say that there's a metric and they say, we want to do this at a 9.5, how fast? If they made it an 8, it would still be more efficient than any other place. Why is that not good enough for Aldi?
Because they got to be at 9.5. That's
it's uncomfortable how fast it is.
If you had a cart, it wouldn't be as anxious.
I don't want a cart. Here's why. I don't need a cart. I have a bag that I take that I take back home, a reusable bag.
Right, right.
So I don't want a cart. I don't need a cart. I'm only getting two things.
Okay.
Why? No, it wouldn't be faster.
Well, yeah, because you wouldn't feel the same anxiety because you would be able to take the cart that has your stuff in it and just walk over to that little counter.
I don't need that ledge.
That little staging area.
I don't go to the ledge. The ledge is for cart people. I never need the ledge
because
I have my bag.
About your unwillingness to embrace the Aldi cart.
No, it's my unwillingness to embrace the ledge, too, because that area is full of old people who then I would feel an obligation to help because they're doing all this stuff. I feel bad for them. I don't want part of that area. I just want to get my stuff, my bananas, and my freaking milk, and get out.
So it all comes back to some sense of guilt about not helping out old people.
It's not that. I do feel terrible for the old people that they jam them up and force them out so quick. And then they're like, they're loading stuff in their bags, in their cart. And there's so much unnecessary. It ends up being longer than it would if they just scaled it back a little bit.
And then you're paying 99 cents for your bananas instead of 69 cents.
I love their products. Matt,
it's the Jerry. It's the ledge.
Do you feel anxious a little bit at the Aldi, Matt? Or as my aunt calls it, Aldi's?
Yeah.
Anxious, not really. I mean, they do go fast.
Too fast.
You gotta keep up sometimes. But honestly, like, if you fall behind, like, I've seen other people do it too. So I'm like, you know what? You can take 2 minutes here while I get my stuff together for a second.
Am I wrong? I was at the point yesterday where I wanted to go, whoa, can we cool it? Can we scale it back? It's the roads are, you know, let's treat this like we're driving in the snow today. Let's slow it down a little bit.
Pump the brakes.
Can we do that? Ugh.
So Colin doesn't have to go
down
to the ledge with the old people.
Cart pulleys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.